Okay, I'm here with John Morgan and Terry O'Neill. They are two people who work at the Thirsty Meeples Board Game Cafe. Could you maybe just tell us briefly, what is a board game cafe?
Mm-hmm. So a board game cafe is essentially a place where people come and play board games. we want people to discover new board games, enjoy the hobby, just have some relaxation, some fun with their friends. And while they're playing board games, they can have some nice teas and coffees and the cakes that we serve here.
The cakes are very nice. I can attest for that myself. Okay, so most people, you say board games to them, they're probably thinking, you know, family favourites, Monopoly, maybe Snakes and Ladders, maybe something like Risk. But I'm sitting here and I can see over 1,500 board games on these shelves, is that right?
That's right. We haven't counted them for a while, but certainly when we were amassing the collection,
yeah. We'd
reached the point of 1,500. So we're going to recount them very soon.
So you've probably blown most people's minds just with that already. You know, novelty versions of Monopoly can only go so far.
Yes.
I can see games here featuring space, featuring, you know, party games, featuring, you know, everything from kind of like food, I see a food section to right over there, building an empire. You know, so what is up with this explosion of board games?
Well, there's been a sort of a renaissance, really, in the hobby that a lot of people perhaps in the UK are not aware of. But really, in the last 15 to 20 years, there's just been an explosion in the hobby. One game in particular called Settlers of Catan, strange sounding title. But it's sort of become really popular, and it's sort of sparked this new period in the hobby. If you look at the 1,500 games here in the store, a lot of people mightn't expect this, but the majority of those games did not exist 10, 15 years ago. Most of them are just out in the last 15 years.
So it really is sort of the crest of it's a wave. It's not just becoming more popular, it's that there's many more games.
Exactly. It's just a sort of explosion. And I think we're just about to see it sort of become a greater hobby. For example, I heard recently that the recent board games are starting to be reviewed in The Guardian now.
Really?
Alongside the computer games.
That's amazing. Yeah. And what do you think is the appeal of board games in particular? Obviously, you know, there are many reasons to love board games. I'm sure we've all had fun sitting around playing with our families and that sort of thing. But what, like you just said there, computer games, why are board games exploding in popularity at a time when some people might say, we have iPads, why do we need to roll dice and push men around little boards?
I think, well, for me, I think the turning point was I was always into video games. Probably took far too long playing video games, got frustrated that video games take so long to complete. I'm a bit of a completionist. And then you start to play board games, and I think two things it offers. A, you know, it's a time-limited game, so it's much easier to kind of get to the end of it. But I think the important thing is like it's just sitting around a table and having fun with your friends. And, you know, we say to people, we're not anti-video games, we're not anti other forms of entertainment, but it's just really, something really lovely about, lovely I sound so hippie, but about sitting around a table and just, you know, sharing some time with your friends and meeting people. And I think that, for me, that's what board games are all about. It's just that social experience.
Certainly, one thing, as a board game guru here at the cafe.
Can you just briefly explain that? Because I think we haven't yet touched on your particular role.
Oh, yes. Well, my role at the cafe is when people come in, we want them to have a good time, obviously. Mm-hmm. And one issue is that they don't want to be reading a rule book. And no matter how, even the easiest games, you know, they take a while to sort of get into. Mm. And it's just so much easier to have somebody explain the game than to read the rules. It's just a massive difference. So here at the cafe, it's quite a bold thing, I think, that John has done, but to have members of staff whose primary purpose is to just host and make people welcome and get them straight into a game.
I have to say, I think that is absolutely amazing. I came in here the other weekend, and to have someone who could sit you down and say, what sort of game do you... Because that's the other thing, you know, you're board game consultants as well.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And so... In doing this role, which is absolutely my dream job, I mean, like it's like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory or something. And but what I see is people are just always amazed at how much fun and at these new games that we've been talking about. They're quite different. People are surprised. It's not what they're expecting. So you know, I do encourage everyone to try it out because just there's a discrepancy between. People are not aware of all the fantastic exciting new games, you know. And once they discover it, it really catches their imagination. And I think that's sort of why it's just taking off. It's a sort of sense like that.
So could, you mentioned fantastic games. Could you maybe give us one or two examples of just sort of brief, you know, you people would be surprised to know you can do this in a board game. Like this, a board game can have this much fun in this one in one box. What would you say? One of your favourite games?
Okay. Well, I'd just say that I think what people, the great thing about the modern games, right, is that they have a fixed length of time. Mm-hmm. They often finish before you want. You think, oh, I just needed one more turn. No, it's not over yet, yeah. You know, which is not what people are used to, but that's the way the modern game feels.
Yeah.
And also in a lot of games, there's not direct conflict, you know, there's a lot of strategy. So, I mean, one game I've been enjoying quite recently is a game where Indiana Jones theme is called Escape the Curse of the Temple.
Right.
And in this game, you roll dice in order to move around a temple and try and move these relics around and escape. But one thing that you do in this game is that as a team, you're all working together and you want everybody to get out. Yeah. So you're not playing against each other at all. Mm-hmm. You're all trying to help each other escape the temple.
Right, yeah.
As well as that, there aren't actually any turns in the game.
It all happens all at once.
Yeah, you just roll your dice as quick as you can, and it's actually against the clock. You've got 10 minutes. This game's going to last 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Ready, steady, go.
That's amazing. Yeah. I got to say, it's just the coming in and hearing the people. I cannot remember ever being in a public place, if you like, where people are suddenly exploding into laughter at tables. You know, I mean, you go to a pub and people seem to be having less fun than the people sitting here rolling dice and drawing cards. What about you, John? What would you pick up as a particularly great game?
I'm looking over there and I can see River Dragons. This is it's not a new game, it's a new game to us. We didn't have it when we first opened because it just was out of print then, but it's come back into print. And we played it together on Saturday night. We had Matthew Dunstan here, who's game designer, just launched his new game, Relic Runners. And so we had a bit of time off in the evening and sat around the table and played some games. And with River Dragons, the idea is each of you are trying to cross a river, which sounds pretty simple, and you have different sized planks, you've got to lay stones, and you're choosing five cards, which you like program your actions. And each turn, you all turn over one of your cards, and it may cancel out your move, it may sort of do something else the player wasn't expecting. And so it's a really hard job to get across the river. But it's just very colourful, very pretty. I like my games with lots of art to them. And it's a very kind of aesthetic game.
Bits and pieces.
Yes.
They are beautiful objects, I have to say. So you obviously there's sort of hardcore strategy, you know, things where it's a puzzle that you're solving and, you know, you're all working together. But I've also seen people here playing sort of games of manual dexterity or just party games as well.
Yeah, we're very pleased this week because... you kind of think things like Jenga, people wouldn't get them out here, but you know, still the traditional favourites like Monopoly, like Cluedo, like Jenga, they come out pretty regularly. I think people sort of gravitate towards the familiar games when they either when they first arrive or when they're kind of finishing up. They kind of just want something that they kind of know well.
Right.
And this week we've added in something called Jenga Bomb. So it's kind of like traditional Jenga, but underneath there's this little platform of dynamite where you pull a fuse and then you're trying to beat like the bomb going off and exploding, so it's like another dimension to Jenga.
Yeah, our dexterity section's overflowing at the moment, you know. We also have the woodman. We have to chop down a tree, get the bark off it without getting the trunk.
Yeah, number one game in Korea, apparently.
So do you think that board games are poised for an explosion into sort of, if you like, mainstream popularity in the UK?
I do believe that.
Yeah. I think you see it happening. I mean, you go to Waterstones and they have more board games than they've ever done before.
Yeah.
Certainly, I mean, in the States, so I think it's slightly ahead of us on board games. You know, you go into any of the big supermarkets and just get Settlers of Catan and get Carcassonne. So it is happening. And I just think, again, it's like the quality of them. It's not just the actual quality of the gameplay, but the components. And I think you know, there are certain publishers who are really driving it forward. So you know, some of the games are... I think at times it's expensive, like £50-60, but you open them and you see like the range of the things inside them, and it's just, you know, amazing. And I think that's part of what appeals people as well, is that collectability of the games.
And I suppose one of the appealing things about the cafe is that people can come here and try out games which are, as you say, often quite expensive.
Yeah.
But I mean, tell us a bit about so it's a £3.50 flat fee.
That's right, yeah. £3.50 for adults, £2 for children under 12 and under, and with that you can stay as long as you like and play as many games as you like. And yes, you're absolutely right. What do people, a lot of people say to us, it's a good way that, you know, before they kind of hand over their money to spend, you know, £56 on a game, they can try it out here, make sure it is for them. You know, and we have people who've sort of, they've come specifically to buy it, to try a game, and then they say, no, actually, that wasn't what we're thinking of, and they discover something else instead. And so, yeah, we think there's a model which, you know, people come here for different reasons. Some it's that social aspect, to hang out with your friends. Others it's like the board game enthusiast to try the latest games before part of that money.
Fantastic. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to highlight?
I think, well, for me, part of, again, what we just had, like, what we called our Week of Wonder, where we've been celebrating particular publisher Days of Wonder. And I think as we go through the year, what we're kind of keen to do is kind of do different events and, you know, we're talking about something we're going to be launching this week, hopefully, something called Risk Legacy Challenge, where the traditional Risk game, a few years ago, they released like a new edition of it called Risk Legacy, and it doesn't quite fit with a cafe, because actually, as soon as you open the box and start playing it, the first instruction is to actually, you know, you've got three cards, you've got to tear up one of them, and so you kind of destroy the game as you go along. You're writing over the board, you're like creating your own game, which, interesting concept. People love the game, but by the time you get to the end of it, that's it, you can't reuse it. Yeah. So there's lots of plays in there, but it's like a one-off sort of board game. So in a cafe, it doesn't work at all, because you know, you'd have to keep replacing it every day. So we're going to have a Risk Legacy Challenge where people buy the game. If they complete it, and it lives here, if they complete it, then we give them the money back. And then we're going to judge all the boards after, say, 4 months. Yeah. And like, people like write a little story of how they kind of created their world to their
that
game.
That sounds really interesting.
And then we kind of have a night where you're like given an award or something and get somebody to come and like judge and present it. We're also thinking for Halloween, we're going to have lots of fun and sort of, those sorts of more creepy sort of games going on here.
What would be a creepy sort of game?
Well,
Ghost Blitz.
Ghost Blitz. Yeah. That sounds sinister. What's up with that?
Well, in that one, you have a deck of cards, and in the middle of the table, there is the theme of that game is you're trying to get a photograph of this mischievous ghost who's eluding you. And in the middle of the table, you have a ghost, an armchair, a book, a bottle, and whatever. And we flip over a card, and it's a race to just grab the thing that's pictured in the card.
So very fast-paced.
Very fast-paced and fun. But the trick of it is, it's either the thing is pictured on the card, or it's the only thing that's not represented in the card. So it's quite mind-bending, and people end up grabbing the wrong thing, and it's quite hilarious, you know.
Fun. That all sounds amazing. So fun times ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
A couple of things I would mention is that... firstly, that we have open gaming night on a Tuesday night, and what that is about is that people can come on their own and expect to be hooked up and hooked up with other people, and that's been quite successful. And we hope to do more of that actually through our Facebook or whatever. If you can get in touch with us, we'll be able to hook you up with other people. And the other thing is that people don't really expect, and it's really important to get across, is that. We have a lot of party games. We have a wall of party games. We're open to midnight. It's not about staring at a board in silence, you know. Most of our games are quick. They're over in 5 minutes, and they're just hilarious, fast, fun, great for a birthday and so on. That's what we're all about.
I've got to say, I've been incredibly impressed by the range of games, but also of people that you seem to have in here. You know, you get kids, you get tables full of teenagers, full of adults, you know, people just seem to be really enjoying it. Do you have a game for everyone?
We do. And you said, actually, at the start, didn't you? You said you were surprised at how there were just so many different games, right? And I'm going to just set ourselves a challenge. We're going to go through each Oxford University department and invite them in and play the game for them. So we've got the zoology department.
Right.
Coming in 2 weeks' time, we're going to play them. They can have a game about ants. They can have a game called Zooloretto, about making a zoo.
Right.
We've got about five. We've got dominant species, about evolution. We've got about 20 games that we could use with them.
That sounds amazing.
Then we're going to pick any department, and we have a game for
maths,
them.
Maths department, mathematics.
Oh, that's going to be quite an easy one. The abstract games will come out.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. I've given you an easy one there. Okay, how about psychology, the psychology department? What would you
Analyze This is right here.
Analyze This board game.
Yeah, Analyze Me, it's called. Yeah.
Analyze Me.
We've already had a group of psychologists come in for a morning to look at our games, see what ones they could use for like personality testing, Myers-Briggs. So,
really?
We've already met that challenge.
Yes, done that one. And what we gave them was a game... some games about where everyone is working together for a common goal, but in fact, some people are really trying to screw it all up.
Oh, they're traitors trying to undermine the game.
Yes, which promotes lots of discussion and psychology.
And do you think psychologists are more or less likely to be able to work out who the traitor is?
Probably very good at being a traitor.
Slandering the university department.
Sorry, they've got their psychology skills, you know, their mind tricks.
So that sounds amazing. I would like to see a list of those. Yeah. I have to say, all of the departments that you pick out.
So, what's your favourite game? You've been here a few times.
I have been here a couple of times. I immensely enjoyed a game called Tales of the Arabian Nights, which was just. It was really, I mean, it's not normally my kind of thing, because I do enjoy the puzzle, I enjoy the kind of, you know, you have to work out what the solution to the game is, but Tales of the Arabian Nights is just mad. It's completely insane. It's like a, just for, give the listeners idea, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure book, you know, those sort of, you know, if you choose to kill the snake, turn to page 394, but you're playing a choose your own adventure game with all the other players all at once, and it is there's a book that comes with the box, isn't there? Called The Book of Tales.
Yes.
And it's got 2,000.
It's pretty thick.
Yeah, 2,000 different like little things happen to you in there, and we just sat around, and basically my girlfriend got turned into an ape. I was robbed and left for dead, but then I married a beautiful sultan, and my friend was imprisoned by some devil worshippers. We had an amazing time, and you know, it wasn't a lot of decisions made, I would say, but it was fun, and it was just so it felt like something you just had an excuse to laugh and to make fun of each other in a way that perhaps isn't really there, and you know, in any other games. And that's one of the things I really thought, is that you do seem like you have sort of something for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. So you haven't seen your girlfriend in the same light again.
Exactly. Ever since she got transformed, she's going through a lot more races now. it was good. But then we played a game called Hive, which is like chess but made out of little insect tiles, and all the time you're sort of like, oh no, you're one step away from disaster.
Yeah.
And that was the polar opposite. I couldn't believe that you were calling them the same thing. It was as though I'd gone to have a tea party with my friends, and then suddenly we were playing, you know, we were having a boxing match in the middle of it. You know? It was a great little mix.
And Hive's a good example of to compare against chess, where Hive is like chess, but it's so quick, it's over quite in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of rules, and you're straight into it.
And no one's memorised the openings.
Exactly.
Like you're not going to lose instantly because you moved your pawn the wrong way.
Exactly.
You know? And now I believe you guys are. This is the first board game cafe in the UK. Is that right?
That's right. There's nothing purely focused on board games. I mean, there's all sorts of types of games out there, from war games to like the miniature games to things like Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh, all sorts of different games. And for us, we just stuck to the board game. So there are other, I guess, gaming shops that do coffees and things, but we're the first that's purely focused on board games. And I think what really makes us different is Terry and the other gurus here. The fact that, you know, you can walk in and there's people who know about the games, who welcome you in, who can, you know, make the recommendations, explain the rules, and there's nothing like that exists anywhere else. And, you know, to work full time as that is pretty unique. Is unique to us.
I don't think there's anything that's got anything close to a collection like this either.
Yeah, it's incredible. You can look at, we're going to take some photographs, and you can see just how many games there are here. And what prompted you to start a board game cafe, John?
I think there's a few different reasons. I mean, the first one for me is I got into the board games a couple of years ago. Started having a family. It was nice for us to sit around the table and play games. My son, who's now 6, really enjoys playing games, and you know, just as we played more, he requested to play more. We then introduced some friends to games, and those friends were like, oh my goodness, didn't know these existed. They got, you know, enthused as well. And as you play more and introduce more people, you think this is really, you know, amazing things, and you just want more people to know about them. And mm-hmm. it's about the same time that I heard about board game cafes in like Malaysia, in North America, mm-hmm. and you think there is nothing like this at all. Mm-hmm. And it was just that thinking, yes, I want to go into business mm-hmm. myself. I've worked for local government for years, and it was just that yeah. driver to do something different. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we spent about 9 months planning this, thinking about how it would work, how mm-hmm. we would kind of get the collection together, what games to choose. And you have those really sort of dark moments when you think, okay, you're kind of investing all this money and time into it. No one's going to come here and play games. And we're really sort of pleased that, you know, when it comes to the weekend, especially in the evening, you know, this place is packed. And, you know, we have waiting lists of 8 to 9 groups wanting to come in and play. And it makes you kind of appreciate that people do love board games and they do get it and they do understand what it's about. And it's just a really good, you know, way to, you know, while away a few hours with some friends.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Alman.